We've been in a series of the Ten Commandments, and many weeks ago I thought, well, I think I'm going to wait until Mother's Day to preach the Fifth Commandment, but I decided to go ahead and preach it and to preach today about the same topic, honor your father and your mother. And especially today as we turn our attention to honoring our mothers, and I realize that the scripture that I'm going to read, I'm going to look at several scriptures, but what I want to talk about today is so fitting for how we honor one another, mothers for sure, but also those that aren't mothers, men and other ladies that we want to honor and we want to hold up and speak the same blessings to. The first commandment given by God, the fifth commandment about relationships. Amazing that it's about the family that God did give us that first commandment. I know my sermon several weeks ago was geared more toward the children, and they were in the service particularly, and we kind of planned it that way about honoring father and mother. This morning I want to go at it again, but I want to probably go at it a little bit more toward adults. And honoring our parents at the stage that we're at and they're at. Certainly for teenagers and young people and us adults who may have parents still living. And how does God want us to honor them? And then to think about all the ladies that are out there and the scripture especially that I want to read and how appropriate it speaks of honoring those that deserve and how we're to do that. There's something about honor and respect that God builds into what He desires the relationship to be between children and their mothers and ladies in particular, our parents. Especially today as we focus on our ladies, I just want you to think about wherever you're at, whatever state you're in, wherever you're at, if you are a mother or may be a mother in the future or maybe not, ladies. I want you to think about Proverbs chapter 31 and how beautiful it is and how beautiful God's Word speaks to every one of you ladies today. To mothers for sure, but also to the honoring of women who fear the Lord of every age and every place in life. Proverbs chapter 31 certainly speaks about motherhood. It also speaks about wives. It speaks about women in general. And we come to the conclusion and the main thing that I want us to think about, verse 31 this morning, it says simply, give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. Today I want to talk to you about some ways to honor the ladies in your life, the ladies around you. There's so many examples in the scriptures about women that should be honored and specific stories and glimpses of how valuable they are. I'm going to throw some of those stories out, just mention them, and I want to focus for a few minutes on one of them and then talk about some specific ways that we can honor our mothers and honor the ladies in our life. But I think the question that comes as I'm thinking about this is, how do we do this? How do we honor mothers? How does God want us to view them? How does God want us to view the ladies, the women that enter in our lives, either because they're our mothers or grandmothers, or they're someone else's mother or grandmother, or maybe they don't have children? And Proverbs 31 speaks of how we honor those that honor God. Some of the four little vignettes that I want to present this morning, they're all circumstances are all different. There's not a set pattern that all four of them follow. For example, the first one this morning that I would like to bring to your attention is a story of Hannah. Hannah in the Old Testament. She was a wife. And she longed to have a child, and God had not allowed her and her husband to have children. And she was growing older, and her heart was growing heavier, wanting a child. And so she fervently called out and prayed to God and said, God, would you please, I'm asking you, would you please allow me to have a son? She said, if you would allow me to have a son, God, I will dedicate him to the work of the Lord all his life. And so she fervently called out to God with a sincerity and a a prayer deep in her heart, and God heard that prayer, and God answered that prayer, and God worked a miracle really in her life and allowed her to have a baby. She followed up on that by doing exactly what she said she would do. She brought up her son and nurtured him and taught him, and then when the time came, she took him to the temple of the Lord and dedicated him to the service of the Lord, and he became one of the greatest leaders in all the Old Testament, a man named Samuel. God used the prayer and the faithfulness and this special lady to accomplish an amazing thing. The second story that I want to mention this morning is the story of Deborah. You might not know her story as well. Deborah lived at a time when there were many judges in Israel, and along the way, she became a judge in Israel. She was a leader. She was the leader of the time in Israel, and we know some things about her, but we do know that when she was called upon to stand up and lead, she did so. And she led Israel. And they brought the cases to her to judge. And even when the country was threatened and they had to decide what to do, it was Deborah that stepped up and led the people and believed that God wanted them to go to battle. And so she was willing to lead them into battle. And she was an amazing lady. We don't know a lot about her, but we know this part of the story. And we know that she was a courageous lady. She was a strong lady. She did what she needed to do. She fulfilled God's call in her life in a way different than Hannah did, but her circumstances were different. And Deborah is a great person to think about and the wonder of her life. And then there's a story of Naomi and Ruth, and many of you have heard that story, and how these two ladies lived in a very difficult time. Naomi was the mother, and she had two sons, and they had a famine in the land of Israel, and so Naomi went to another land with her husband and her two sons and to get food. And while they were there, Naomi's husband died, a bitter change of events in Naomi's life. And what had begun as probably a difficult and a journey that wasn't really what she wanted to do, perhaps, but she went, and then her husband died, and there she was with two sons, and they grew up and they married Moabite women, and so they were married for a while, and then both of her sons died. And so there was Naomi getting older with two daughter-in-laws and no husbands, no way to take a living, no land to possess, and they were in a hard place and a hard time. But in the story of Naomi and Ruth, without taking a lot of time to talk about it, we see such faithfulness of both of these women. We see how where they were at and what they were dealt with in the circumstances of life, they showed such character, they showed such loyalty, they showed such faith in God, in a place of hardship and trust, and their story is beautiful. And then toward the end of the book, we have the beautiful love story of Ruth and a man named Boaz and how God blessed this family. And then you have Naomi, and then Ruth and Boaz get married. It's a beautiful love story, and they have a son. And then that son has a son, and then that son has a son named David, and he becomes king of Israel. How God worked four generations back in circumstances that seemed pretty bleak and hopeless, but the faithfulness of these two women worked out in an amazing story. It is a beautiful picture. And one more story from the Old Testament, the story of the wisdom of a woman named Abigail. You've probably maybe heard of her, but her husband was a very unwise and unkind and rude man. And to make a long story short, Abigail was wise and resourceful and thoughtful and protective and had many qualities that are just absolutely amazing. So much so that she was able to avert a terrible disaster and bloodshed because of her wisdom. Without going into the story, she showed these qualities that brought about a peaceful resolution to what could have been an act of war. There's so much to learn from stories in the Bible that women are involved with, and there are a lot of them, and I just wanted to mention a few of them this morning, but the one that I want to focus on for a few minutes is actually in the New Testament. It's the book of 2 Timothy. If you want to follow along and read it this morning, I want to read five verses about a young man named Timothy. And you're wondering, well, why do you want to talk about Timothy if it's Mother's Day and we're going to talk? Well, I want to talk about Timothy's mother and grandmother. Chapter 1 of 2 Timothy says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flames the gift of God. Timothy was a very young man when the Apostle Paul met him. Some people believe that he could have been still an older boy. Not more than a teenager for sure, probably a teenager. Most commentators think Timothy was about 15 years old when Paul happened to meet him. See, Paul was passing through the town that Timothy was from, Lystra. Was the name of the town. Paul was on a missionary journey, and everywhere Paul went, he preached the gospel. And somewhere along the way, when he came to the town, he met this young person, this boy or this teenager named Timothy. Not sure whether Timothy already had a deep faith in the Lord Jesus Christ or not, but we know that Paul recognizes very soon after he meets him that Timothy has a faith that's real and genuine and special and important. We read a little about him in this story. Think of the incredible influence that these men over time had on each other, because Timothy becomes attached to Paul for the rest of Paul's life. In fact, I would say of all the people in the New Testament that are described in the book of Acts and the letters of Paul, Timothy seems to be more connected to Paul than anyone else. Just about everywhere that Paul goes, Timothy goes with him. And then, as the years go by, Paul begins to send Timothy out to places to minister, to check on people, to pastor, to shepherd. That's the word that he uses, shepherd them. He sends Timothy out somewhere. Timothy, from being a little boy and a teenager and a young man, Paul worked with him and cared for him and loved him and developed him and mentored him so that Timothy became a great Christian, a great leader in the early church. Somehow along the way, Paul had a great ministry in Timothy's life, and he became someone very strong. But what I really want to focus on this morning is not the relationship between Timothy and Paul, but how did Timothy get there? How did Timothy get to the place that he was so able to be taught and trained by Paul? It was evident that Timothy had a deep faith. And it was alive. It was real. And Paul saw in him somebody that was so genuine, as young as he was. Probably by the time he wrote this letter, he was a teenager, probably, or a little bit older. But Paul saw something in Timothy that was so attractive and so strong that Paul said, I would like you to go with me, and I'd like you to be my partner in this work, in this gospel. And Timothy did that. Paul was so grateful for who Timothy was and hopeful for who Timothy would become, that Paul took him as his son, and he calls him that later in the letters that he writes. He says, my son, Timothy. Verse 2, to Timothy, not just my son, but he says, to Timothy, my dear son. There was this strong affection between Paul and this young man, Timothy. And so Timothy traveled with him. Paul taught him. He trained him. And then he sent him out to care and minister for others. And I won't take time to say all where Timothy ended up, but he went all over as well. He remained close to Paul till the very end of his life. In fact, he was one of two people that was likely with Paul when he finally was arrested and he died in Rome. So Timothy was with him. He was with him in prison. His name, Timothy's, Paul's. Paul includes in six of the letters that he writes in the beginning, he writes them from Paul and Timothy. I didn't realize that until I read that, and then I started looking, but Paul includes Timothy. He's like, he and me, we're together this whole, he's not my right-hand man. He's a partner in the ministry, and Timothy does that. But what I want to notice today is how Timothy got there. And I think the key is found in these verses. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am sure lives in you also. Paul wrote this letter, and he said in it, I've seen something in you, Timothy, but I saw it before you. I saw it in your mother and your grandmother. I saw it in their influence. I saw it, Timothy, in the way that they raised you, in the way that they taught you, in the way that they nurtured you, in the way that they cared for you, in the way that they presented God to you, in the way that they honored God. And you know, Timothy, I've seen this pattern between your mother and your grandmother that has pointed you to God. So I think today one of the most important things we can do as parents or grandparents or friends or cousins or whatever is point our children to God. To live a life that says to them, I believe in and I cherish and I love God. Somehow the mother and the grandmother did that in Timothy's life. And so by the time Paul had gotten to him, he had such a, it's called in here, a sincere faith. He had a faith that was sincere and it was passed down from Lois and Eunice. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. I want to remind mothers out there that don't underestimate how important the presentation of your faith is to your children. What you believe and why. Who you trust. Who you call out to when things are difficult. What you do with conflict in your heart and in your life that you deal with. What do you do when you've been hurt by somebody else? How do you handle it? What do you say in your life and your faith toward them and toward God? The influence of a mother and a grandmother are so important in this story. Eunice and Lois faithfully lived out that early faith, careful to pass on to Timothy something special. We've thought about before and talked about passing the baton. How important it is to be reminded that we pass the baton of faith to the next generation, whether as parents or as a church family, we're passing the baton of faithfulness and trust and honoring God and loving people in all that we do. Somewhere when Timothy was a little fella, his grandmother and mother passed on something attractive to him. They passed on to him respect for God's truth and God's word, and not just words on a page. 5-year-old Hebrew Jewish boys usually began to study the law, but it says later on in chapter 3, Timothy, you've known this from infancy. The word is there. From being a baby, you've heard this. I mean, at the beginning, Lois and Eunice were passing on to their son and their grandson the gift. What a great gift it is. Timothy was blessed by a mother and a grandmother who had right priorities. It's good for us to stop and think about our priorities as parents and grandparents and as Christians and those that we have influence over. Timothy had been given a great gift by them. Chapter 3 reminds us, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. Not just that you have known words on a page, but look at the end of this verse, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. They passed on to Timothy not just words on a page or stories. They passed on a living faith. So as Timothy got older and Timothy could decide for himself, he took it and he embraced it. And Timothy became the kind of a young man that was teachable with the power of God. I think of all the words that describe what Timothy was. He was, apparently, he learned well. He was willing to work as a team. He had a heart for people. He also was very teachable. He was teachable. That teachable came from his mother and his grandmother as they gave him something. Certainly Lois and Eunice have earned their reward. And so today we think about how do we reward those around us? How do we show appreciation? I want to give you a list of some things to think about. I don't think they're anything that are all that insightful other than really good reminders of some things that I'm sure that all of us would say, yeah, it's a good thing that we do that. I'd like to give you a list of some ways and suggest that you find one or two, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe this week, and find someone in your life that you can express this to. Not your mother, grandmother, anybody in your life that you want to, but maybe find someone else that you don't know so well, and I'd like to ask you to consider to maybe choose one or two of these things and think, I'm going to do my best to give the reward that is deserved in these areas. Maybe for your mother or another lady in your life that you're thankful for, how can you give the reward she has earned? The first thing that I want to mention today about specifics is have eyes that see her hard work. Stop and observe. When we stop, especially I think men, I mean, we're so busy and we got a lot going on and we don't think about a lot sometimes what's going on at home, and I'm speaking for me here and maybe a few others here. Our world is pretty occupied with trying to make a living and bringing home the check and all those things that so many times I think it'd be good for us just to stop and be careful and watch and look and see how hard our ladies are working. I really do believe that they're working far harder than we give them credit for so many times. The call to motherhood is, it's a high calling, and that's one thing. But I want to say that the call to motherhood is also a challenging calling, and it's not easy. It's not always easy. Sometimes it might be. But I think of the time and the energy, the demands of all the hats that are worn and the wisdom that it takes, the patience it takes, the balancing of priorities and things to do and all that. It's an incredible job. We really ought to recognize that and see that and see that and express appreciation for that in those that we love. Some of you, especially men out there, it's good for us to take care of the kids or the grandkids all day once in a while. I know when I do it, man, I don't know how daughter does that every day. It's incredible. It really is. Some of the things that I'm going to say in the next 10 minutes are because I feel like I don't have this down yet and I have a long way to go. But we first need to see how hard our ladies work and be willing to look at that. 2,735. By the way, did you know that the average in the first year of life baby needs 2,735 diaper changes? My goodness. If I do two or three a month, that's pretty good. 2,735. Ashley, how many children do you have? Four. I thought so. 10,940 diapers. I don't know how many Tim did, but four, three. Okay, closer to it. Crystal? 12,800 maybe or so. Brandy, over 15,000. That's in the first year of your kids' lives. My goodness. The laundry, the food, the runny noses, getting things ready for school, children learning and growing in elementary school, then preteens and facing the stuff that comes at our preteens and decisions and choices and feelings and changes and how remarkable that time is and important and special. But challenging as moms do their best to hear and feel and help and encourage. We have a lot to be thankful for. And we should know that and express that. So those of you that are on the younger side and you still live at home, I want to say to you, value highly your mother. Hear the heart of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord of how important it is to honor your mother and your father. Teenagers and young adults, and you know, our children need us at every age, although the needs are different, different ways. Give her the reward she has deserved. Another thing that I want to say is to highly value the nurturing aspect of motherhood. This is a gift from God. It's an incredible, important part to a child's health. Some men are really good at that, and a lot of men are not. You know, we're pretty straight cut, you know. Go to bed. Pretty easy, you know. Eat your corn, you know. Or whatever. But God designed men and women different. And that's part of the whole idea of honoring our mothers. God designed men and women different. And it's a good thing. In both sides. Don't underestimate the value of nurture. Or think it just takes too much time. Or wish it away as if it's just not that important. Give her the reward that she deserves. Number three, listen to her advice. The ability to think different, to think introspectively, to think of relationships is also another gift that God allows in different places and quantities. But have ears that hear and listen to your mother. Whether you're a younger person and you're still at home and mom says things sometimes that you just want to roll your eyes at, or you're a little bit older and you're making your own decisions, but still mom is there. I don't know that God will give you any greater voice of love and help than from your mother. Listen to her words. Listen to her heart. Number four, speak words of praise. Often, sincerely, express gratitude. Say thank you every day for something. Practice it. It doesn't mean that you do that because your mom is perfect. She might be, but probably not. You do it because it's the right thing to do. A thankful spirit. Words that bless, words that build up, words that say, I know that you're trying to be a good mother. Kindness. We know that our ladies are wired different, and their advice sometimes is from a different perspective. They're important. Ladies of all ages. And two, I'm not just thinking about young people. I'm thinking about our older ladies, older adults. How important it is that our older people hear words of affirmation, whether they're our mothers or grandmothers or they're our friends. Words of affirmation. Maybe for ladies of all ages, grandparents, those who are losing their independence, mothers who are in tough situations, maybe younger mothers who are hurting. Words that bless. Be affectionate. Hug and hold. Some people are huggers and some aren't. But it amazes me when I go to Elmcroft and other places how I don't know that I've more than one person in my whole ministry has ever said, I don't want to hug. I am thinking of one person particularly, actually, but that would probably be about 6,000 to one. People need affection of your words, of your kindness, of touch. Touch is so important. It's kind of a word we've got to be careful about and all that. I know that. but a hug, a kindness is so important. Give them the reward that they deserve. Affection, time. There's no substitute for time, thinking especially of our older adults, but it's true of everybody. How important our time is. We all have 24 hours in them. Ask God to show you how you can most use your time to bless. He will help you to have an insight and a tender heart toward the people around you. Number eight, a lot of moms probably need a break. Give her a break. Think in terms of a reward she deserves. Moms need a break sometimes. My mom worked so hard. My mom passed away 30 years ago, so she's not an active part of my life, but I want to tell you just a little bit about my mom. She really was a wonderful mother, and I love her so much and miss her. Wish I still had her. She took care of the four of us. I was the youngest of four. And she also operated a full-time nursery school. Had like 25 kids every day in our house, and that was a different day as well. And my mom was always, always busy. She was a typical mom. She had eyes in the back of her head. She could hear my transistor radio under my pillow when I was trying to listen to the Reds game late at night. She always knew when we went too far, trying to annoy our sisters, you know, and she was such a precious mom. She worked so hard. My mom was a hard worker. Once a month, as I remember it, Dad would take her to the beauty salon. They called it that back then, you know. And once a month on a Saturday morning, Mom and Dad would go away. That's when all those kids would probably get in trouble the most, you know. But, you know, I always thought my mom didn't need to go to the beauty salon. She was so beautiful. She was so beautiful. But it made her feel better. Give her the reward she deserves. Whatever it is, be a blessing to the women in your life. And don't forget the flowers, chocolate, haircuts, manicures, romantic dinners, massage, or whatever. Whatever it is that floats the boat, it's really up to us to know what it is and say, hey, mom, wife, grandmother, friend, I want to bless you today. I just want to encourage you to be the hands and feet of Jesus and love the people around you and find ways that you can be a blessing. Think about it. Work on it. Would you stand, please? Dear Heavenly Father, today we thank you for the incredible gift of the ladies, even among us and around us today. I thank you for each one of them and their lives and their hard work and, Lord, the individuality that you created them. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would help us as children, as adults, God, that we would always have in our hearts the same attitude and spirit that you want us to, that is found in that fifth commandment of honor. How do we honor our mothers, God? Help us to know that. Help us to live it out. Thank you for each one that's here today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today.